I invite you to take your Bible, your smart pad, smartphone, and turn with me to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 through 31. I'll read this text as we go through the message. We're looking at a series called Who's Your One? And I'm asking you to pray for an opportunity to share Christ with somebody that you know that's lost over the next 30 days. There was a man who was just snowed in Chicago one winter. He made some plans for he and his wife to go to Florida, to a sunny, warm place. His wife was out on a business trip, and she was going to meet him in Florida. So a day came for him to get to the airport. He made it, flew out, landed down in Florida. And when he got there, he decided that he would just send an email to his wife to let her know that he arrived safely. Well, he had a scrap piece of paper that had her email written on it, but he lost it during his flight from Chicago to Florida. So he decided to use his memory, and he missed her email address by one letter. He accidentally sent this message to an elderly woman whose husband had died the day before. When the elderly woman opened her emails, she let out a scream and passed out cold on the floor. Her family came rushing in. They looked at her computer screen, and here's what it said. Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Your loving husband. P.S. It sure is hot down here. I've chosen to speak on a politically incorrect topic. Church growth experts say do not preach on sin and do not preach on hell because people will not come back. I love you enough to tell you the truth and the whole truth. So I want to speak to you about two men here and how they lived and how they died. Now listen, the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, and the poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. Poor man went to heaven because he trusted Jesus as his Savior. The rich man trusted in his riches, and he went to hell because he didn't have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. So look at Luke 16. We find the words of Jesus recorded as he speaks on the subject of hell. When you look at a text, you want to ask the questions, who, what, when, and where? When I look at the who here, Jesus calls the name, the proper name, of the poor man Lazarus. But Jesus never referred to the proper name of the rich man. We go down in verse 20, and when these two men died, the rich man went to hell in verse 23, and the poor man went to heaven. The rich man, while living on earth, was described, look at verse 19, was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He had the finest clothes, a beautiful mansion. He had his own private chef, an abundance of food. This man also had all the delicacies of life. In contrast, Jesus said of Lazarus, look at it, verse 20 and 21, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gates full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man, this was his fare. He had to go through garbage cans to find food for the day. His body was covered in sores, and dogs came by and licked him. That was the only medicinal care that he had. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I want you to notice something here. There's no mention of a funeral for the poor man. If he had one, no one would have come. He didn't have any influence in the town. People just knew him as a local beggar. Well, let's look at the rich man. Let's just suppose. Verse 22, it says, the rich man also died and was buried. Possibility there was a great funeral. And everybody who was anybody came to hear what was said. When they gave the eulogy, they told about the political influence he had. the economic influence he had on the community, his civic achievements, his social achievements. Everybody that was anybody came to his funeral. But there's one problem here in verse 23 and 24. And in hell, ladies and gentlemen, those are the three saddest words in the Bible. And in hell, this rich man lift up his eyes, being in torment, and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Ladies and gentlemen, the rich man is praying in hell. He's waited until it's too late. Verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember in your lifetime you received good things. And likewise, Lazarus received evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from here to you cannot. Lazarus can't come there. Neither can they pass to us that would come from here. Then in verses 27 through 31, we read more. We find that suddenly the rich man is concerned about the salvation of his family. If they'll not listen to the word of God, a resurrection, maybe even of Lazarus, would not convert them. Now go back to verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes. And ladies and gentlemen, hell is a missing subject in preaching and Bible teaching today. D. James Kennedy, he's in heaven now, he wrote this: some people seem to be under the delusion that hell has evaporated, or at last that all intelligent people have stopped believing in it. Ladies and gentlemen, if there were no hell, there would be no reason for us to be soul winning. There'd be no reason for us to be involved in missions. There'd be no reason in the world for you to be praying right for now for one lost family member or co-worker or fellow student, whatever it is, that you'd have an opportunity to share Christ with them. Now listen, there are two places of dwelling past this life. There's heaven and hell. And there's several words in the New Testament translated hell. One of them is Hades. It's a word equivalent to the Old Testament word Sheol. It means the covered state, the state beyond which we do not go and cannot see. It's the realm of the dead. Jesus spoke about the realm of the dead containing two areas, two compartments. One is paradise, which is where Lazarus was taken to be with Father Abraham in the bosom of Abraham and find joy and peace. But then there's Gehenna. That's the compartment of the dead without Christ. That's where the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. There's torment and separation from God and Christian loved ones forever. So let's look at hell, the place, in verse 23. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Now I want you to write down Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. When you ask Jesus into your heart, your name is put in the Lamb's book of life in heaven, never to be erased. Revelation 20, 15, anyone whose name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, in America, listen to this. 65% of Americans believe in hell. 35% of Americans say they're going there. That's sad. And then when you talk to people that believe in hell, they think that 25% of their friends are going there. Let me share a secret with you. 100% of people in hell believe in God. It's too late. That word hell becomes a popular word in our society. Some people can't say yes without the word hell, especially talking about football. Delaney and I were talking to a friend in another state last year, and her daughter just got accepted to Princeton University. She said, we went with her to freshman orientation. She said, while we were there, I want you to know what it was. It was political correctness on steroids. And this is how you're going to behave on our campus. When they finished the freshman liberal orientation, she said, then we were taken all the freshmen, incoming freshmen, were taken to a Presbyterian church. And the pastor got up and he said, I want to conduct a survey. First of all, of you incoming freshmen, how many of you are atheist? Please stand. Over 90% of the freshman class stood. That's sad. And you know why 90% of the freshman class stood? Because they were raised in unbelieving homes by unbelieving parents. So you got some pagans here, some unbelievers that are just raising another group of pagans. And ladies and gentlemen, if they're in Princeton, those are the future leaders of America. Those are the leaders for your children. Those are the leaders for your grandchildren, people that don't know God. How in the world do people try to explain away hell? First of all, write this down, the universalist. You're going to hear the politicians talking about this as they're running for office, headed towards November. Oh, we're all God's children, and we're headed to the same place. That's what the universalist says. Listen, we're not all God's children. The people who are God's children are the ones who have been trusted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, been adopted into the family of God. All of us are the creations of God, but the children of God are the ones who have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. So the universalist declares that God in His love, whether you're a Buddhist, Hindu, atheist, Christian, whatever you are, we're all going to the same place to be with the Lord forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. Second thing is the annihilationist. The annihilationist teaches this, that once you die, you're like an animal. You cease to exist. You don't have a soul. If you do have a soul, it's exterminated. It's terminated when you die. Then the sentimentalist, I hear this all the time. The sentimentalist says, I believe in a God of love. I don't believe God would send anybody to hell. And you know what? They're 100% right. It's not His will that any should perish and go to hell. People make a choice to go to hell by rejecting Jesus as Savior and Lord. God didn't make us robots. He gave us choice. Matthew 7:13-14 says, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, enter the straight gate, for broad is the gate, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Do you realize you're a minority in the American society if you're born again, practicing Christian? Jesus said you would be, because the majority of people are going to reject the grace, the love, the mercy, and the salvation offered by Christ. Second thing I want to share with you today is the proof of hell. Hell is an actual place. Why do I believe that? Because Jesus said it is. Look at verse 23. And in hell, He lift up His eyes. Jesus told of a man abundant with wealth. He described him in verse 19. He's clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. Yet when he died, Jesus said he went to an actual place called hell. You say, well, that's impossible. Well, argue with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're bored right now, let me give you something to do. There are 1,850 verses in the New Testament that quote Jesus directly. Now you can start counting them if you don't believe it, okay? So go ahead and do that. Of the words that are recorded of Jesus, 13% of them deal with the subject of hell. Jesus talks about the subject of hell more than any topic. In fact, when you look at the 40 parables Jesus told, more than half of the parables relate to the concept of hell and God's eternal judgment. And I want to warn you that the picture that Jesus painted here is not pretty. The word Gehenna, which is a word used in the verses I just shared with you to describe eternal destiny of people who spend eternity without God, refers to the Valley of Hinnom. You know what the Valley of Hinnom is? It's south of Jerusalem. It's the dump. And there, no burning restrictions. They can burn 12 months out of the year. They burn in trash there. And let me tell you what they did back in biblical times when they hung somebody on a cross, capital punishment when they tore him down. They took his body out there and threw him on the garbage heap and set him on fire. That's the picture painted of hell. Now, the reason Jesus compared this place to hell is because hell is a place of unspeakable, incomparable anguish and sorrow. Jesus said in Matthew 13:42, "And God will throw them to the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, do you know why people refer to this as gnashing of teeth? How many of you got TMJ? You don't need to tell me. And you have to wear a mouthpiece at night. You have excruciating joint pain right here in your jaws. And at night, you know what you do? You grind your teeth. Actually, you're mad at your spouse. But you say it's TMJ. But that's what's going on. And here he says there's going to be constant gnashing of teeth. What's going to happen is people in hell are going to say, "You know, I blew it. I rejected Jesus. I should never have come here." But they're going to have that anguish along with a fiery furnace. Revelation 20:10 says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented forever, day and night." You say, "Well, I don't believe in a literal hell. I believe in a metaphorical hell." Bless your heart. I think in the South that means what? "You stupid idiot." Isn't that what they told me when I first moved here in Silver Creek? I never knew that until I moved to Silver Creek. Whatever it is, it's a place of eternal suffering and agony. Well, that's what we're going to talk about now. A place of everlasting suffering. Luke 16:24. It's a place of eternal physical suffering. Dr. Kennedy said in his book, Why I Believe, he told about a friend who had been an atheist. He went into cardiac arrest one day, and the doctors pronounced him clinically dead. But some on the medical team decided, "We're going to try some more resuscitation." And guess what? They revived the guy. I want you to know that guy's saved now. And Dr. Kennedy said, "I sat down and interviewed this guy and said, 'Man, what happened to you?' He said, 'Well, I got sick and I went into cardiac arrest.' And he said, 'Man, when I went into cardiac arrest,' he said, 'all this darkness encompassed me.' And he said, 'I was rolling this big stone in the darkness down towards a pit, down towards a place of fire.' And he said, 'When they shocked me back to life,' he said, 'I was trembling all over.' He said, 'I can't tell you exactly where it was, but,' he said, 'it wasn't a place on this earth.' And he said, 'I've been an atheist all these years.' He said, 'You know what? I have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord.' And Kennedy says, 'Where do you think you were?' He said, 'I think it had to be something other than this earth. So the only place I can think of is there must be a hell, and I was in it.' Kennedy said, he told me that when he thought about that after he got out of the hospital, he said he began to tremble, and with uncontrollable trembling, he said, 'I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in the Bible. But,' he said, 'brother, I believe it all now.'" Notice it's a place marked by sorrow. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, we find the rich man. He's saying, "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead will just go to my family members, they will repent." It's a place where you regret your sin, and then you suffer the consequences for your sin. And it's a place where you know further agony because you've got family and friends and co-workers and fellow students that have rejected Jesus Christ, and they're coming exactly where you are for eternity. Oh, I hear people, "Oh, if I could have just lived in Jesus' day, I would believe and live for the Lord." People hung him to a cross. They saw his miracles. They listened to his teachings. And look at his disciples. Even when he was crucified, where in the world were they? Save John, there with Mary. They turned the other way. Peter said, "Man, if everybody denies you, I will be faithful. Before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. Listen, it's a place marked by sorrow. It's a place marked by separation. Verse 26, place of separation from all this good, from God. It's the place of the hypocrite. It's the place of the liar. It's the place of the filth. It's the place of the moral and spiritual degradation. And here it says there's a gulf fixed, so there's no hope. The most awful thing about hell is the hopelessness there. When I witness to people, I tell them about Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But what? Gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know what? I've had some people that didn't want to talk about it, but I've never had anybody in 39 years of pastoring churches say, "Pastor, I really want to go to hell." They may not have wanted to trust Jesus, but they never said, I'm just ready to go to hell, man. That's where I'm going. And notice the population of hell. We want to take a census here so we get our government funding. The unsaved religious people are there. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father. There will be many in that day who say to me, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things in your name? Do we not cast out devils in your name? But I'll say to you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Does he know you? Have you ever come to a time when you repented of your sins and asked Jesus in your heart? If you have, your name is written permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. If not, you're going to be part of the census of hell. You say, "Well, I tithe. I'm a church member. I'm baptized." Wood, hay, stubble. That's worthless. Have you ever had a moment when you trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord and entered into a relationship with the Heavenly Father? Notice rebellious rejectors of Christ are going to be there. That's Revelation 21:18. It says the abominable are going to be there. Now, I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture, ladies and gentlemen, that is inspired, infallible, inerrant in the Word of God, but it is not politically correct. Here's who's going to be there. 1 Corinthians 6:7-11, murderers are going to be there. They're those who've taken the life of another. God's given human life. It's sacred. Only God has the right to take our lives. Notice what else? Adulterers are going to be there. The sexually impure, the fornicators, the homosexuals, those who reject the way of God morally and sexually for their lives. Sorcerers are going to be there. Those who practice witchcraft, binding of spells, soothsaying, astrology, worshiping the creation rather than the Creator. They're those who live by the astrological charts. They guide their lives by the stars. They say they make decisions by the signs and its predictions for that particular. God says all of you are going to have a part in hell. Idolaters are going to be in hell. Those are those who give their lives to something other than God. Liars are going to have their place in the lake of fire. He says here the fearful and the unbelieving are going to be there. Some say, "If I give my life to Christ, what are other people going to say? If I really obey and follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what will they say at church? What will they say at work? What will they say on campus?" Ladies and gentlemen, it don't matter what they say. You just better make sure you're known by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I got saved, I was very rich. I was a college student working part-time in a grocery store. And I want you to know, when I was there, I got saved. I came in on Monday morning, hit the time clock, and this old boy named Johnny Johnson, he had the wildest blonde hair you ever seen in your life. And he was married and had a little baby. He was our produce manager. And when I walked in that day, he said, "Man, I saw you baptized last night." I said, "Dude, you don't even go to church." He said, "I went last night." I said, "How'd you go last night?" He said, "I went to eat supper with my sister-in-law. Our family went over there, and we sat down." She said, "Well, since you're eating with me tonight, you got to go to church with me tonight." So we got through a dessert. We had to go to church. He said, "I looked there that Sunday night. There you were in the baptismal pool being baptized." He said, "What in the world did that mean to you?" There at the time clock on Monday morning, I'm sharing my faith. He had too many questions, so I called Delane's dad. He was the pastor. I said, "You need to go see these people." And guess what? Johnny and his wife both got saved and were baptized. But you know what? At the store, God hadn't called me to preach. I just got saved. I had the keys to a cash register. I put no stop. Rev, open up number one, please, on the express line. They're already calling you a preacher, calling you all kind of names. So what? My name's not going to be called in hell. Notice what else? The positives. I want you to see the positive list in hell. What are the good things in hell? I want you to write them down now. Number one, there's some good people in hell. You know some good people right now. They're very compassionate. They're very charitable. They do things for other people. Shirt off the back. You call them at 3 in the morning, they'd be right there for you, but they've never trusted Jesus as their Savior. Remember what I read? One of these days, they'll say, we did all these things, and the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Second thing I want you to see here, it's not in your outline. I want you to see that there's some people there who have some pretty good resumes. Pretty good resumes for being compassionate. Do you notice where Lazarus sat? Where did Lazarus sit? At the rich man's gate. Now let me ask you a question. Let's be honest here. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But if you went home today and there was a homeless person with a blanket around them waiting on the next rain. By the way, Noah has left Georgia. But anyway, he's sitting out there with a basket wanting people to stop and give him food or money. And wrapped in a blanket next to your mailbox, you know what you're going to do? You're going to call 911. And tell the cops to come move this homeless man out of your driveway. Or you might carry food to them. Or you might say, listen, I don't know you, but we're about to have prime rib and all the trimmings and hot apple pie with ice cream for dessert. Why don't you just come on in and eat with us? How many are there? Nobody raising their hand here. The rich man let this guy stay by his gate. Why would he do that? There were some pretty rich people coming to see the rich man. They might make contributions to old Lazarus. And listen to me carefully. Hell's going to be full of good men and good women, some who were kind and courteous. But I want you to see here, there was not just good people in hell, there's good vision in hell. Good vision. There's the rich man and he opens his eyes and what does he see? He's sure not farsighted, is he? He can see, man, there's Lazarus. He's in Abraham's bosom. He is in heaven. He could see what he was missing. Number three, there's some good prayers in hell. Abraham, could you please just resurrect Lazarus? And let him go see my family members and tell them about Jesus. I don't want him to come here. And by the way, if he'd stop by the water cooler and just get a little tip of his finger there and stick it on my tongue, it sure would feel a lot better down here. I want you to see something else. You got a good memory when you go to hell. You got a good memory when you go to hell. Look at this. Aren't there some things that you wish you could forget? I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When Delaney and I go to the beach, we go during Mother's Day and before school gets out. And I'm telling you, I've been wearing sunshades for a long time, but I think I'm going to wear blinders because some people just got no class at all. Are you with me so far? And I'm not going to get into the details of that. But there's just too much art on the beach. That's just where I'm going to leave that right there. But it's just bad. And you know, there's some things that you see in life that you didn't mean to see and you wish you could just get it out of your mind. And you can't do it. Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. He's comforted and you're tormented. What is it about this memory? You know what? And this is sad. There may be some of you today who've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And you never will. It's your choice. You're going to go to hell one day. And you're going to remember that email you sent out or that Facebook post back on February of 2020. You sent that post out, said, I can't believe I went to church today and Dr. May had the audacity to preach on the subject of hell. That's just a turnoff for people. And you know what you're going to remember? I wish I would have listened. Can you believe how sophisticated our society is? And he would stoop to talk about something like that. Let me tell you something else. Memory. In hell, you're going to remember Christmas songs. You're going to remember Silent Night. You're going to remember Joy to the World. You know what you're going to remember in hell? You're going to remember Christmas presents under the tree. But the thing you missed is God hung his present in Jesus on the tree. Let me tell you something else. Memory is just kind of a sign of aging. You ever walk through the perfume? You don't mean to, but you're in the mall. You got to go in through the perfume. If you got allergies, you're going to just die right there. You're going to asphyxiate. And, you know, you go through, reminds you of a girl in high school. Now, when I get home, Delaney will ask which one. I sat behind her in psychology class and counseled with her. It had to be her. My mother, I think it's called Estee Lauder, something like that. My mama called it Estee Lauder. So sometimes I smell Estee Lauder, and I think of my mama. Listen to me carefully. There's going to be good theology. Good theology in hell. Man, I didn't believe in God before now, but I believe in him. And you know what? Everybody in hell is going to believe in God. You say, no, they're not. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. Everyone on earth, everyone in heaven, listen to this. Everyone under the earth will bow and say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Doesn't mean they're going to all be saved. It means that they're going to believe and they're going to bow down and proclaim he is Lord. There's good priorities in hell. I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come here. Ladies and gentlemen, they believe in evangelism in hell. Isn't it sad? There's more of a belief in evangelism in hell than there is in the local church in America. You say that's not true. It is true. Billy Graham Association did a survey. 90% of us in churches in America will never share the gospel with one single person during our entire lives. They're more fervent about evangelism in hell, they can't do nothing about it, than those of us who are here in the church. And then there's good intentions in hell. I'm telling you this. This may be the most powerful part of the sermon. What do you mean good intentions in hell? Well, you can reject Christ through outright rebellion. I don't care if I go to hell. Get out of here with the gospel. Hardly do I ever run into anybody that just absolutely, positively wants to go there. One can deny and refuse Jesus Christ through apathy, indifference, procrastination, and ignorance. Oh, I don't know what all you got to do to get saved, but I guess I will one of these old days. Hell is filled with people with good intentions. I don't know if my mother's father was ever saved. I remember him. He acted annoyed by us when we would visit. I understood that. He sure did drink a lot of moonshine liquor while we were there. But my mother was with him when he died. And one of the last things he said before he left this world, God intended for me to be a preacher of the gospel, and I ran from the call. He was saying, I lived a wasted life. I didn't listen to God. Notice the prevention here. We got to move quickly. God never prepared hell for you and me. Matthew 25:41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for whom? The devil and his angels. That's who it was prepared for. But then we came along with sin, And then that became our place of eternal judgment without Christ. Look at Luke 16:30, the proclamation. "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." Notice he didn't say, don't tell them to go join church. Don't tell them to go be baptized. Don't tell them to go tithe. Don't tell them to good life. He says, go tell my brothers to what? Repent. Verse 31, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if somebody rises from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and there are many who still will not repent because they'll not hear the Word of God. I see Barry's over here. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. Billy knows. Ted knows. Mike Sutherland. Anybody that's officiated at funerals know what I'm about to tell you. When I lived in Warren County, a family moved to town with about four kids. It was three boys and one little girl. They moved in a little rental house there. I went over to see them, got them to come to church. The husband weighed about 400 and something pounds. Health was absolutely terrible. They started coming to church. I went over and shared Christ with Dad. Dad didn't want anything to do with that. He knew it all. I said, okay. So the kids kept coming to church. Occasionally Dad would come. Finally, one day I got a call. Dad was in his 30s. He died. There's no money to do a funeral. So we're getting together there in the community to try to pay for this. And so they did a cremation, because that was the cheapest. And I'm never going to forget going to that funeral home. Little chapel wouldn't hold over 50 people, I guess. And I stood in front of them next to a little urn. Here's Mom. And here's these little kids. His daddy never accepted Jesus as his Savior. He died and went to hell. And I'm sitting there wondering, what in the world am I going to tell this wife and these little children that are going to grow up without a daddy? And I tell you, the one subject that's always in at a funeral for the lost or the saved, it's Jesus. And so I told those kids how they could be saved. And told them about the comfort of the Lord and comfort of His Word and how our church was going to walk alongside of them. But you're talking about an empty, hollow feeling when a man was explained in very simple terms. It's either heaven or hell. And Jesus said, it's all about grace. It's all about my love. I shed my blood for you. It's free. And they say, no, I just wouldn't be interested. Let me leave you with just one thought. The existence of hell is not up for public opinion. Jesus said, hell is for real. And that's why you and I should be very passionate and prayerful and ready to share Christ with people who don't know Him, because they're going to spend an eternity in hell. Politically correct? Absolutely not. Scripturally right? 101%. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed and eyes are closed?